Previously on
Gutter.
Welcome to the post-disaster Washington State. 10 years ago, the Cascade struck. A great seismic shift caused terrible earthquakes and tsunamis to wreak havoc upon the entire coastline of the Pacific Northwest. In the wake of this devastation, pockets of no man's lands, known as warps, developed. Sequestered from the rest of society, these areas have fallen under a powerful and unknown influence, becoming hotspots for miracles, magic, and ecstatic violence. 10 years later, and these lands have become unrecognizable. Wham! We meet the protagonists. Stumbling out of a warp tavern in the wake of a bar fight thrown together by fate, we've got
Scratch,
a neurotic 30-something wielding a strange mystic tome.
Bodhi,
the morose muscle with a heavy past and a grim horizon. And finally,
Violet,
a young green-haired punk courier with an important package to deliver. A box about the size of a human head to be handed to Violet's boss, Barry Treble, due by nightfall. These three all hop into Violet's trusty monster-wheeled hatchback vehicle known as Booger and book it to the nearest ferry headed for Shaw Island. Upon arriving to complete the delivery, everything seems to be going great until,
boom!
The boss's mansion explodes and something dark on black wings bursts out of the building. The gang flee from this strange danger, but as they make their getaway, the box, this package, is calling to them. Fueled by fear, desperation, and egged on by the strange insignia on the box, they open the package to reveal a perverse, mutilated visor that, when Scratch puts it on, points the crew back to the site of the explosion, where they find a strange black book in the wreckage. Armed mercenaries arrive at the door, and carnage erupts. The gang manage to escape both gunfire and the island itself by commandeering a dead rich guy's Margaritaville-themed yacht. Inconveniently, space in the back to park Booger. As the yacht sails away from Shaw Island, thing on black wings appears again, tearing down from the sky, diving directly towards our protagonists. Bodhi takes up his axe and leaps at the thing, and in the instant of collision, all three experience a horrific vision. They see all the inhabitants of the world falling into an ocean gyre, writhing, hateful, and hungry. Standing on a submarine nearby, they see seven figures watching this hellish consumption take place. The figure in the center of these seven is holding the very black book that they just stole away from the estate. The vision sends a clear message. Something terrible is coming, and evil will triumph. And somehow, it all relates back to this black book. They come to from the vision. Scratch and Violet, looking around, they realize Bodhi has vanished. He is nowhere to be found. Brokenhearted and distraught, Violet and Scratch turn to the black book. They open it, and within they find 10 addresses. The first address is nearby, in the warp town of Black Fork, the home of the scrapyard, Bodhi's home base. So, we set our sights to Black Fork Scrapyard. Hey, maybe there they can get some answers about Bodhi. And maybe, just maybe, we can figure out the secret of this black book, what these addresses mean, and how it can be used to prevent the end of the world. Also, the yacht has a big mouth Billy Bass with the trapped soul of Jimmy Buffett in it.
This is a Gutter production.
Yeah, I don't know how long leveling will take up. I believe it's incredibly simple.
Okay, cool.
Roll a d10 for each checked skill. In-game failed rolls. Casey, do not do this for Mythos. Mythos, we should probably say.
Mythos is the beer, right?
Mythos is like how you would say it if you were being Greek about it.
So. Mythos. Can we be Greek about it?
Mythos.
Mythos.
Do not do this for Mythos. But yes, that is the beer as well.
Mythos beer is really good, by the way.
All right.
I will let you know how much veil you gain. Okay. Ella, next, roll your dice.
I wish you had a Greek accent just because I love your accent work, Eleni.
Yeah, let's redo this character. I'm going to be actually from Greece.
I mean, it could just be episode 4 and Violet is like...
get a concussion and then suddenly, for unexplained reasons...
it's a hit in the head with a wooden plank or something like that.
And then they're like, I don't know.
Setting us up for having like a Turkish, scary Turkish villain.
All right, we're just going into it. Light cascades over your eyes, Violet, and your eyes open. You're lying fully clothed on the duvet of a California king.
Can it be a waterbed?
And it's all coming back to you all of a sudden. Bodhi, Scratch, Shaw Island. It was all a dream. It must have been all a dream. It was all a dream. And then... it all comes back. You feel the swaying of the vessel and the bed beneath you. It is a waterbed. You smell the salt of the sea, and there's like a closet just at the end of the bed, and you can see inside the closet is a man-sized custom golf bobblehead sort of looking back at you.
A man-sized bobblehead?
Like a human man?
It's in the closet, and it's looking at you.
Oh my god, that is so scary.
It's looking at you, blah, 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 and you're like, ah, or whatever. Or you're like, ugh. And it's all coming back. Now it's all back. It's all back. Everything is back. It's all real. You're lying on the squishy California king. You remember everything. You guys stole a dead rich guy's yacht. You fled armed mercenaries. You lost Bodhi to a black-winged horror. And you're now heading dead on into the middle of a huge warp, a total no man's land. And the yacht bobs beneath you as you stand and step out of the USS Frye bedroom. I guess you have to sort of walk by that bobblehead. You kind of walk by that bobblehead and he's just in there.
Ugh.
No matter where you look, it seems like he's making eye contact with you.
You stagger out in the hallway. You see more photographs of Tom, who was the previous owner. They're all over the walls, sort of interspersed with tiki tchotchkes, Christmas lights, and mementos from various boating, fishing, Jimmy Buffett concerts, fish concerts, these Grateful Dead shows. Like, we're seeing a lot of this kind of style of decor. Dead ahead of you, you can see that the hallway opens up into a lounge, which you remember, you took a brief look at it, and it's like a very large and very gross sort of display of, gross as in large, display of wealth. And it's also, you know, about up to the taste level of everything else here, which is to say a little tacky, maybe a little charming. But anyway, we're not worrying about the lounge. There's a door on the hallway. You open the door, and there are these underlit lights, stairs going up. Climb up the stairs to the wheelhouse of the boat. It's bright and gray outside. The yacht is humming in autopilot. The high-definition screen shows the charted route that you've set, towards the town of Black Fork, and it's about 30, 45 minutes away. You're close.
Good morning, sunshine. You sleep well?
The Jimmy Buffett big mouth bass above the wheel turns his head to you.
Hi.
Hi.
I forgot that you are a sentient being. Hey. Yeah, despite the odds, I slept. I don't remember falling asleep. It was like I was out and now I'm awake. How about you? Do you sleep?
Well, you know, I kind of just have to pretend that I'm sleeping or else I'm afraid I'm going to go insane. I mean, I don't know if I can go insane, but I ain't going to find that out, you know? So I just kind of like, I sit here and I just imagine things that I might be dreaming, and I try not to think too much about it because I'm very afraid of losing any semblance on whatever sort of existence I have now.
Yeah.
We got a Keurig over there. You want a little coffee? I mean, I can't drink, of course. Hey, actually, speaking of me.
Yes.
Your buddy's just outside. Why don't you take me off the wall? And there's like a mallet over there, and you just smash my darn brains out, because I would love to die. I don't want to hold on anymore.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you are feeling so bad and so stuck and trapped. What would happen if I threw you into the water?
I'm worried that I would survive and then I would just sort of sink to the bottom. And yeah. Then I think I would truly go mad. And
yeah. In the dark.
Probably live
cold.
Forever.
Yeah.
In total right. darkness.
Do you have sensations? Do you feel?
I can sort of hear things a little bit. Like, I have, like, a little sensor that senses when people come in. Because every time someone comes in, I want to go, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal. Because it's a radar. So I got kind of a radar thing. But otherwise, no, it's a lot of silence and lack of feeling altogether.
That sounds so, so hard.
You think about it. Look. Well, I could talk about it a little more, but let's...
I'm going to have a Keurig.
The Keurig's over there, your butt is outside, and I'm here, you can kill me anytime.
My butt is outside.
Your buddy!
I'm sorry.
I said, oh...
I knew you said my buddy, okay. But it really did sound like you said my butt, and that's, I just needed a laugh.
That's funny.
I know you want to die, but bear with me, okay? Bear with me, it's been a... Weird fucking singular day.
That's the sound of the Keurig machine. You got yourself a little coffee now.
We'll come back to that. You're gonna stay on the wall for now, okay?
Okay.
See you later.
Okay, you slide open the door to the outdoor patio. You feel the ocean spray in the air. The sky is bright. It's bright overcast. In the distance, you can sort of see off the side of the boat. You can see whispers of fog breathing in and out of a forest that is a calico of green, orange, and red. And you see Scratch. Scratch, what are you doing out there on the patio right now?
Scratch has two books open right now. He has the notebook open, the black notebook. I was going to say the titular, but the notebook isn't named Gutter. He has the black notebook open, and then he has his archive open. And you can see that he's pretty deep into this archive. Again, this thing has hundreds of pages. And he's just flipping through and looks quite tattered and tired. You do not suspect that he has slept.
Hey, Scratch.
Hey. Yeah.
I slept a couple hours.
You didn't kill that fish yet, did you?
No. He keeps begging. He's begging for death.
Here's the thing. I've been thinking, just in case you go thinking he's sentient and you start feeling bad for him, I think there's a high possibility that it is just an AI, a, you know, very advanced, very responsive AI, conditioned to convince you to want to kill it.
Oh, it's working.
Hey, he's good.
I feel bad.
He's good. But just the thing is, until we know, we absolutely cannot grant its wish. That thing, okay. I don't care how much existence is suffering, it needs to continue to suffer until we get to the bottom of this.
I'm so tempted to smash it with a hammer.
Don't.
I will not.
Okay.
I will not.
Yeah.
Listen, I just want to say that I I'm extremely sorry, but I am going to make sure that we are okay. I'm going to do what I can to, like, help you and also me, and we will be fine.
Just so it's said, you know, I'm not going to say you can't feel sorry, but I bear just as much responsibility. I was the one who led us back to the place, and you know, if we'd just hid on the island in Booger, then we maybe never would have actually encountered that thing, and Bodhi would still be... So, anyway, let's not waste time being sorry about it.
Yeah. I mean, if the two of you went in a different direction and I didn't take you in the car, you know, all of the things that could have been, but aren't... Yeah. It is what it is. This is what we're doing now. So, what are you doing, by the way? What is that? What is this?
Well, this is relevant, actually, because, you know, if you choose to prescribe to the idea that maybe, just maybe, there is some element of predestination at play here, I am cross-referencing this notebook with my archive here. Any of these chain mails and scams and emails I've been sent, trying to find, like, any connections. It's a habit I've developed over the past half year that has honestly only recently started paying off. Recently, as in the past 24 hours. So
what is the connection? I mean, aside from the... And Violet points at that first address that's in Black Fork, where we were already going to be headed anyway. Like, do you see other stuff that's connected to your book?
Well, I've been at it for the past 3 to 3.5 hours, I would say. And it's more of an art than a science, you know? No, I haven't
okay.
found anything in the addresses that connects, but...
But you have a suspicion. And you know what? I'm all about it. I love it. This seems like a cool and mysterious research, so...
Yeah.
Great. Cross and compare can't hurt us, huh?
You think when we get to Black Fork, we'll visit that scrapyard of that friend of Bodhi's?
Oh, yeah. I intend to go there 100%. First of all, Bodhi has disappeared, okay? That's the facts. I mean, based on what we both fucking saw, there's a chance that we may never, ever see him ever again. And there's a chance that he is going to kill every single one of the bad demons. I don't know.
That would be sick.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Something he would do.
You never know. But his friend at least deserves to know that he's gone.
Well, and if Bodhi thought this friend was a good place to lay low after what happened, then I'd definitely defer to his instinct on that one. So maybe he can help us out in some way.
In the distance, you start to see kind of the fog is breaking a little bit. You can see these rough, like a lot of rough Victorian spires rising up through the breaking fog. Dead ahead, there's a town built on this tall dirt embankment, and it's surrounded by and being consumed by a thick forest of bright greens, oranges, and reds. At the base of this embankment, you see a crowded, ramshackle, mid-sized harbor, and it's extending out in the water, and you guys are floating, headed on your way right to the harbor. This has to be Black Fork. You're passing by fishing vessels right now. You can see, guys, they have their lines out, they have their nets out, and you are headed directly for the harbor.
Okay.
You ever parked a boat?
So you're getting into the harbor now. It's weathered and rustic, certainly, but it's highly operational. There's like a kind of hum of dock workers hollering back and forth to each other. You can see there's a couple people attending to their vessels. Vessels of all kinds, big and small, mostly of a sort of rougher, unofficial variety. No, you're not seeing too many big corporate, you know, like, there's a sort of independent feel, say, to the many different kinds of boats in this harbor. You can see there's also, like, there's some cats. They're kind of fighting over a crab shell. They're both trying to get in there and eat the remnants of these two black cats. So as you're heading into the harbor, you see an old man who's got, like, a dirty blonde surfer haircut that's, like, heavily graying. And he's got a little gray soul patch. He's waving you down, sort of directing you into an open dock. He's wearing a Salt Life tee, cargo shorts, and sandals, and does not seem to be affected by the rather frigid wind. It's easily 50 to high 40 degrees outside right now. So he's like, he's pulling you in, he's helping fasten the USS Frye to the dock, and he gives a little whistle at Booger in your cargo bay. Sweet hopper you got there. I've been seeing more of these around. So you should be able to drop the ramp and you're golden.
Oh, and
your first time docking in Black Fork?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. So yes, indeed.
Do we need papers or anything?
Don't worry about papers. There's just one rule, and that's docking's free, but it costs a little to leave. So we'll figure that out if and when you should choose to leave. If the vehicle stays here for longer than 2 weeks, we are going to take it. Just so you know, that's how we do it here in the warp, but you seem like responsible folk, and this is a nice vehicle indeed.
I'm sorry, are we in a warp right now?
Oh yeah, this is Black Fork. We are right in the center of the northernmost, or is it the northernmost? I kind of just threw that word out there. I read it recently, and I'm trying to use it a little bit more, but I do not know what it means. Skip a step.
Wow.
It's a northerly. It's that heavy warp region.
Okay.
I think it's. I know. I've been living here my whole darn life. Warp 1764.
Holy shit. Sorry, this is...
Welcome, Scratch.
This is a little new for me, yeah. I've only passed through, so... But cool, thank you.
Yeah!
Baby's first warp.
What brings you here? Do you need directions anywhere? Is there a place you have to go? Do you need to ask an NPC for directions?
Yes!
Sorry.
Do you have an NPC, or...
Yeah, hold on. Let me take out my NPC, and he takes out a...
Little guy.
He takes out a little tiny guy from his pocket, and he goes, "Hey, look at me, I'm a little NPC."
Oh my god, can we keep that?
Huh.
It's like my son gave me this. They're crazy about NPCs these days. And
oh, I love
this. It's just like a little fluffy doll with like one of those little chud faces. So he's like, "Look at that." Anyway, my son made that for me.
It's so cute.
But anyway, do you need directions anywhere? Can I give you directions? You can say no. You can say no. Actually, that was rude of me to be like, "I need to give you directions. Just get out there. Have fun."
No, we do need directions, though.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, where is the scrapyard, please?
Oh, head to the scrapyard. So what you're going to do is you're going to just hit the... Once you get off the dock, you're going to hit the main drag. Just head down that way and take a left at the fork.
Left at the fork. Okay, and... favorite food place around here? You got one?
Well, we mostly cook to ourselves, but you can... we got a general goods store, and they do sell some bagged-up sandwiches that are...
Great.
Come see, come saw, let's say.
Okay, come see, come saw. That's good enough for me.
And do people... I've seen some documentaries and heard some different things, but do you use money here? How do we...
Don't ask that.
What's
yeah.
the... Are we still using dollars
we
out?
Still use money. We still... It's dollars.
Okay.
It's dollars.
Okay. He's okay. Clearly... He looks a little offended by that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's never been in a warp. He's never been in a warp.
I don't know,
do they
like...
still use money in Ohio?
No. No. Yes, they
do. Yeah, but I mean, technically, warps aren't necessarily... part of America until they're fucking reintegrated, right? Isn't that the...
Dollar's still king, dollar's still king.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know. This is the outside perspective.
I mean, yeah, you can barter or whatever, but dollar's still king. We Cash App, too.
Cash App, seriously.
When we have Wi-Fi, but we don't really have great Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a... Maybe you get a hotspot if you're lucky. What was your name? Thank you so much, by the way.
My name's Burke.
Oh, Burke. You've been super helpful. We're just going to, you know, gather up our shit from in here, and then we'll be on our way.
Okay.
Violet pulls Scratch inside, like, kind of abruptly, and is like, all right, Scratch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's highly possible we are never coming back to this boat, okay? So we need to take as much shit as we possibly can and put it in Booger, and then we're going to leave. So step one, and Vi climbs up on a chair and takes the fish down from the wall.
Hey!
You're coming with us, bud.
Ah, can't wait. I'm so ready.
There's a sudden clanging of, like, tin cans and bottles and stuff like that. Scratch used fishing wire to make a sound trap just in case anybody were to take that fish off the wall and consider killing it. He's, just ignore that. He snaps the line.
Oh, that was very resourceful. Ah, I like that. You want to keep that with us?
I can make a new one. Sure.
Okay.
We'll put the cans in the back of Booger.
What else? Did you see anything else useful around here?
You guys can grab, let's say, 5 things. You can get 5 things from the boat.
Other than our belongings that we already have?
Yeah. Your backpack, the pearl-handled pistol, blah, blah, blah.
Pearl-handled pistol is, because I don't know how to, like, put it in my belt, I have that now in my jacket pocket. Very, like, obvious, but I'm kind of keeping the hand on it. I put my stuff and the black book in my backpack, toss that in Booger.
Did you see the life-size bobblehead downstairs? I do not want to take that, but
no, I didn't go in there.
Oh, it was scary as fuck. It's life-size. The head is so big, it just wobbles around.
Do you think there's a soul in that, too?
A soul in that?
Or an AI. I don't know. We don't know. It's kind of up in the air.
There's only one way to find out.
Okay, let's hurt it.
They run down.
And that's it.
Violet punches it in the bobblehead.
It kind of just falls over.
Oh.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
I'm so sorry.
Well, okay.
Anything else valuable?
Three things. It's down to 3 things now.
Well, Gina, I don't know what's around.
Use your imagination. What might a rich guy have on his yacht?
There's a signed, autographed, platinum record of Jimmy Buffett. So Vi is like, you know, in the right circle, this can still fetch a pretty penny. So it's small enough. Let's just take this.
Okay, great. You yank off the wall his song Banana Wind, his platinum Banana Wind record.
Wow.
What about this thing? Should we take this? And Vi picks up a locked box. It's mysterious. We don't know what it is. You don't know what's inside it.
Oh my God. This could be anything.
You can hear things sort of rattling around inside. There is no key to be found.
A little tiny locked box? Yeah.
We want it?
Yeah, we absolutely are taking the locked box.
Okay, locked box.
You have basic survival necessities. We don't need to grab like jugs of water from the kitchen or anything like that. I'm sorry, I don't know what warps are like. A lot of people say things, and they differ a lot in the different areas, but
you're on the right track. Getting jugs of water is a pretty good idea. We might as well grab some jugs of water. If nothing else, it'll put out a fire.
Boom. Booger is on the dock. You got a signed record. You got, like, this little black box that's got a lock on it, and it's awful mysterious, and Gutter's full up, ready to go.
Booger.
This is Gutter. Oh, I said Gutter. Excuse me. Booger is full up and ready to go.
That's not the first time that's happened. It's the funniest thing.
Oh, my God.
Really, I should just rename the car Gutter.
Gutter's ready to go.
It could become Gutter at a crucial moment. Like, that will be its, like, evolution
it
stage.
It could become Gutter.
Gutter.
Oh, whoa. And that's and there you go. Episode 4 is when...
We say come gutter
for the
first time.
I guess that was inevitable.
I'm going back in the shadows.
Okay, so last minute grabs. 5.
The most expensive looking thing there is.
Okay, you grab the margarita machine. You yank it out of the wall.
Oh, my God.
There's like melted, icy margarita sort of splashing everywhere. And you kind of like dump it out over the side of the boat. And you kind of like take a loose towel out of the bathroom and kind of like wipe it out. And then you, bam, throw that in the trunk.
an old man saw you dump that into the water and was just like, what the fuck?
A bunch of fish like float up to the surface.
The little Billy Bass looks at the dead fish and is probably jealous.
Like, God damn it. I wish I could drink some of that.
Boom. We're in the car. Brum is the sound of what the car says when you turn it on. And brum, you drive down out of the harbor into the downtown. So you pull into the main drag and you can see it's full of historic buildings and storefronts, clearly from around the 1800s. The sky is darkening a little bit. You're seeing lots of details from the Victorian heyday of Black Fork. You're seeing, like, there's very intricate brickwork. It's a little disheveled with large cracks running through it. There's leaded glass windows. And in place of the glass that was broken, you can see there's clear construction-grade plastic. And in some cases, even the gingerbread trim has survived, though it's now kind of worn and gray from the sea, salty air, and lack of upkeep. But as you pass by, like, these Victorian houses, it's like, it's kind of impressive, because these guys are on the shore, so these guys definitely got hit hard 10 years ago in the Cascades. But it's like the people have banded together to keep that, so it's like all these buildings are sort of kept together with, like, scrap and pieces of tin, and, like, so all these buildings are like constructs or combines of their Victorian frame and what they had to scrap together to keep things looking good together. You see, also, there's a few old women outside of a house sitting in plastic chairs, smoking, they're drinking coffee. You can hear children whooping and hollering in the distance. You notice there's, like, a lot of stray cats all over the place. Up and down the street, they're in windows, they're on rooftops. Just about everywhere you look, there's a kitty cat. The air also, there's a deep, woody, oceanic smell, but there's also kind of like this little chemical tang to it. Like, something's in the air. Ahead of you, just past, there's Victorian buildings, but also there's these kind of dilapidated, like, Jenny's Ice Cream and Chipotle, you know, of 10 years ago, you know, that are totally, totally gutted and scrapped to bits. So just beyond an abandoned Chipotle and Jenny's storefront, you see, you're kind of startled by the sight of a enormous, shimmering black fork sticking out of the ground. It's spindling, it's tall, reaching, like, right above the Victorian spires. Sunlight reflects off of this black fork like its surface was made of oil. So, this must be where you turn left.
Oh, it's not an actual fork in the road. It's an actual fork.
Oh. Wait, so they put this fork here?
They put the fork. You always see you turn the fork in the road, make a left at the fork.
That's
really... I think this place is honestly kind of cool as fuck.
So you take a left, and now you're entering a more overgrown part of town. And driving into a light fog. So the buildings here are in a much greater state of disrepair. Some are maimed, chopped apart, some are totally collapsed and picked to pieces for spare parts. Between the ravaged ruins and, you know, there's like car frames, rusted cars up and down the street, these big trees and moss and shrubbery and overgrowth, it's like it's taken back what was theirs. And the streets themselves are just full of rubbish and leaves. So you're driving on and things are getting darker because the trees are so high and so part of all the buildings. As Violet drives Scratch, out of the corner of your eye, you think you see two cats walking on their hind legs.
Oh.
And then when you look back, they're just walking on four legs.
And you know, the thing is, I've been without internet, good internet, for a while. And even when we had, technically, there was Wi-Fi signal on the island, but, you know, we were a little preoccupied. I'm so desperate for dopamine hits, and seeing two cats standing on their hind legs is, like, exactly the kind of shit that would pop up on my Blue Sky feed. And so I'm looking at it like a hunting dog, like, oh my God. I thought that, this is crazy.
So you're driving on deeper, darker, into these wrecked buildings and woods rising up around the wrecked buildings. And you start to hear this wooden clack every now and again. This And looking out, you can sort of see there's like these wooden blocks hidden away on buildings and trees that are, it's like they're spring-loaded or something, but it's like a wooden block will hang back and then all of a sudden clack back into itself, making these noises. As you're driving now, you see reds and green lights bleeding through the fog. It's rather dark now, but you're pulling up before a great Victorian painted lady, and it's surrounded on all sides by these trees. This beautiful painted lady is covered in peeling blue paint, ivy, but again, Frankenstein together with scrap and salvage, maintaining its regal frame, and it's sort of like gloriously standing before you. On either side of the house is a high chain link fence topped with rusty barbed wire, and it encloses a backyard that appears to be just like full of scrap. But what really stands out here on this beautiful Victorian is a neon sign above the door, and it reads, "The Crap Yard." The S is out.
The crap yard. Hey, we made it to the crap yard.
We're slap happy.
Yeah, we are slap happy.
You're seeing on the front porch, there's a stocky man with a crew cut. He's wearing sweats. He's a big, big fella. 20s, late 20s, maybe? And he's sitting on a rocking chair just looking out in the woods, a proper 1 million yard stare. And there's a little plastic open sign on the front door of the house.
You think that's the guy? Bodhi's friend?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
All right, drive into him full speed.
Drive into him full speed? Let's go.
See if he dodges
that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You got your secret gun?
Yes.
Okay.
It's extremely not secret. Like, it looks very obvious.
Clunk, clunk. You guys step out of the car, and you're walking over. You're stepping on leaves. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Great sound work there, Casey. Sounds so nice. Crunch, crunch, crunch go the leaves. You're stepping up. Very chilly out there. It's very, very chilly in the woods. Deep woody smell. You walk up to the front. The guy sort of looks over to you.
Hello.
Hey.
Nods. Very small nod, and he looks back out into the forest.
We are looking for... Actually, I don't know if we got their name.
Do you know Bodhi?
We're looking for a friend of Bodhi. Does that ring a...
Yeah, you got... Guy raises his eyebrows and gives a little smile.
I think this is him. This has got to be him.
Oh. Gestures behind him.
Yeah, he gestures at the door to the place.
I think he was trying to give a thumbs up that he's the guy.
I don't think so. Scratch.
And he just kind of did it
he was the guy. He's like, I used to be the guy. Okay, let's go through the door.
All right.
Ding, ding, ding. You go through the door, and here it's absolutely packed to the gills, this big, beautiful Victorian. You're seeing, like, there's, like, this U-shaped register, and it's just full of, like, all these oddities, like, stuffed animals, weird masks, old relics, rusty firearms, just, like a classic junk and antique store. And there's, like, an old-fashioned register, and there's a young woman, 20-something, behind the counter, wearing an oversized fisherman sweater, chewing gum. And I think, are we hearing voices from just beyond?
Yeah, we're hearing some voices in this room, which is just an incredibly warm room. There's so much crap everywhere, all this shit all over the place, but it's just got good energy. And to your right, across from the counter where this young lady is sitting with sort of a bemused expression on her face, there is my new character, who is in his late 40s, early 50s. He's about 5'10", springy, with a hint of a dad bod. He's got light blue piercing eyes, light red hair, and a boyish cut that would make more sense on a 10-year-old. Feels a little comical on an older guy, but don't tell him that. He's wearing a black baseball hat backwards.
I'm man of the people.
And on the little strap of the baseball hat, it says crew. And if you were to look around the other side, it would say George of the Jungle. It's a real hat.
from the filming of George of the Jungle. Wow. It's just one of the many interesting bits of pop culture and memorabilia that have vortexed into this room that we are in atop the head of my guy. He's wearing leopard windbreaker pants, a slightly too tight white vintage Kansas Jayhawk March Madness t-shirt, and some chunky sneakers that seem pretty worn. In fact, everything on his person and around him is slightly worn. That's because you're in the goddamn scrapyard, DBA, the crapyard. This guy is holding a telephone, and he is standing partially in a vintage telephone booth. It's like kind of like wooden, and it is fully functional. And he's in the midst of waiting for a guy to pick up. This guy does not pick up. It goes to voicemail. Hey, Frank, this is Otter. You know, Otter from the scrapyard, DBA the crapyard, Coach Mayfield. You know, you maybe know me as that. Maybe you know me as Ozone. Maybe you just know me as that son of a bitch who lives by the woods. You know. A week ago, I purchased a carton of dead stock Princess Diana Beanie Babies from you. And it sort of come to my attention that maybe these Beanie Babies are cursed. Because they've been sitting upstairs, and every night they're in a different position than they were when I left them. And they've got me thinking that Toy Story was a goddamn documentary. So imagine my surprise when I cut one open and 10,000 spiders come out. We need to talk, because you sold me some bum Princess Diana Beanie Babies, and I paid out of pocket quite a bit for this. I was really depending on the ROI for these Beanie Babies. Please call me back. You know where I am. If you can't get through, try again. All right. Amy, you're good to fire up the internet again. I'm off the phone.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I am going to go finish making those 15 pan bañas for the dinner we're having later with the community kids. So hold all my calls. If this jagoff calls back, you just tell him, wait a second, come get me, and I'll give him a piece of my mind.
Yep. Sounds good, Ott.
And also, can you help these trick-or-treaters or whoever these guys are that just came in?
Oh,
hi.
Hi. I'm sorry, sir. I actually think we may be looking for you.
You guys find out about this place on, like, Yelp or something?
No, not exactly. Our friend, Bodhi, let us know to come find you.
You or the guy out on the porch, as we haven't quite figured it out yet.
Okay, I'm sorry about this. Let me guess. You guys are journalism students. You're trying to make a big break because you heard that former college and NFL wunderkind Bodhi Chambers was seen out here. Look, that guy died. He died 10 years ago. There's no story to be had.
What?
So why don't you go take a little look around, go see if you want to buy some tchotchkes, and then get on your way. Because I ain't telling you jack shit about Bodhi Chambers.
I'm sorry. Bodhi Chambers is alive. Well, he was alive and well up until yesterday, and now we actually don't know where he is, but he's a pretty good friend of mine that I've been hanging out with relatively consistently for the past, like, couple of years, so I...
Oh. And I'm looking, and I'm appraising, because that is what I do. I appraise. I look at things, I determine their value. I look at things, I can find out if they are authentic or if they are fake. And I can tell immediately two things. One, these people are telling the truth. And two, I recognize that this person has green hair and that Bodhi used to speak highly of a little something with green hair.
A little something with green hair.
And I replay the words you just said. A day ago, Bodhi was alive. What the hell are you talking about?
It's kind of a lot to explain, and I don't know how traumatized you feel like feeling, but...
Amy, can you go run downstairs and see if you can fire up the sling box and the DVR to tape that game that's happening, I think, at 4:13 on ESPN6?
Yeah, sure thing, Ott. She's got a sort of worried look on her face, like maybe she knew Bodhi too, but she complies. There's like a grand wooden staircase leading upwards in this room. There's like a little side, like Harry Potter door she opens up and goes downstairs.
She's a really good kid. She's smart as Albert Einstein, pretty much. She set up our internet. She sells her stuff on Etsy, and she's just trying to save enough to go to college.
So you have working internet here?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Sometimes.
All right, Scratch. Well.
Do you guys want to sit down somewhere?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about what happened. And listener, you can replay episode 1 through 3 now.
For the listener's convenience, I'm going to insert episodes 1 through 3 here.
Wait a second, what about me? I gotta hear it. What are these episodes you're talking about?
We're doing a scene.
Where am I?
Want to go into another room?
It's dark.
Okay. Oh.
What the hell's Gutter Podcast?
I've got an idea for an opening to the interlude, which I'll just run by you guys right now.
Okay.
I was going to start by just saying, you guys, I love the interlude. I love being in the interlude.
That's dope.
Something like that.
Was this a subtle way of just getting right into the interlude recording right now?
It may have been.
Are we in the interlude recording right now?
I don't know, but I'm loving wherever we're in right now.
Yeah. I love it. And you know what else I love? I love is when we figure out what it is that we need to talk about in the interlude during the interlude.
Oh, yeah. Do we still need to do that? Okay.
Okay, well, I send a little message all to you secretly that you can see, and then you can decide if that's what you want to talk about during this interlude.
You want me to talk about owing you $25, Eleni? Because that was a separate thing.
You owe me $25. Give it to me now.
You want to talk about my butt stank stinking up our whole apartment building?
That
and making your cat sneeze?
That's an issue that we have very strongly.
Wait. Eleni sent that one to me too, actually.
You both have stinky, stinky butts. Gannon's butt, pure. Smells fine.
He just doesn't live in the same building as us.
Fair.
Smell his ass. I guarantee it stinks just like ours. Listener, I know you're on my side.
We have the same. We used to live together, so we have the same bacteria. Okay? Our butt stinks synced up. That's what happens.
This is a smelly recording studio full of butt smell.
Oh my God. I hate it.
I hate the interlude, actually.
I fucking hate the interlude.
We get into the business and away from this nasty stuff?
Yeah, let's get back to the episode as soon as possible.
By the way, it smells like pumpkin spice in here, not like a butt.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
And?
We got a voicemail.
We did.
We got a voicemail.
We did it, guys. We got a number.
We called up the government and said, give us a phone number. They gave us a phone number. It is
773-666-A-GUN. That's 773-666-2486.
Can you believe that? We got 773-666-A-GUN.
A gun.
Isn't that so? I remember that always. I'm going to be like
forever.
An old man with dementia, and that's going to be coming up to me. If you want to reach out to us, tell us good job, have a comment or even a question or something like that, feel free to call that number. We would be so happy to hear from you.
I promise we will listen to every voicemail. Cross my heart.
So basically, give us a call. Ask us a question. Just like Casey said, you know, ring a ding a ding ding do. Maybe we're going to do something within the future. Maybe not. But hey, it's out there. Give us a call. 773-CHICAGO-666. The devil. A gun. You know, so there you go.
Easy.
On that note, what else is easy? Spending money on merch.
Oh, yes, especially when you got merch that looks as good as ours.
You can get shirts.
You can get stickers.
You can get a little mug, probably, I'm guessing.
No, you can't, because I didn't enable that stuff.
Oops.
I only enabled shirts and stickers.
Sorry, losers.
You want a mug? Let me know, and I will enable that.
And also, right now, we just have a couple designs, a couple cool logo designs. But we have big ideas for merch, guys. So if you're excited about it, keep an eye on
us.
On us, but also on gutter.show/shop. Gutter.show/shop is going to be refreshing over time with cool new stuff, and we'll be sure to tell you about it. But keep an eye on that space.
Most importantly,
the number one way that you can support this show, aside from listening and sharing and retweeting, is
Patreon.
Patreon.com.
And you're also supporting yourself because, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is more episodes on our Patreon than there are currently main feed episodes. Is this true?
Yes, it's true. And are they good episodes? No, they're great.
Yeah. He had me in the first half.
There, I was like, oh, fucking great.
I was like, is Gannon legitimately mad about my editing on these Patreon episodes? He's not.
No, Mike is such an amazing editor. These episodes are so funny and good, I'm dying for you to hear them. And they're the prequel stories to the main guys. So, like, jump in!
I've been having existential crises over how good Mike is at editing because I'm like, dude, I gotta build up from the ground, man. This guy is on some shit.
He's fucking
that I can't even figure out. It's incredible.
You guys are gassing me up so much. Let me just tell you, my editing is but a fragrant seasoning on top of primo meat. That is great role playing, acting, and choices made by everyone else but me.
This motherfucker said butt fragrance.
Butt fragrance.
Sorry, I can smell it so much because of what Eleni said, and now I recognize that my ass do stink.
Also on the Patreon is plenty of other stuff. You got cool Gannon's GM notes. You've got our after show Gutter Talks, which we do after every single episode.
Including this one.
And hey, you will find it if you're signed up for the Patreon. Go after this episode is done. Listen to it now or do that chaotic thing where you listen to the after episode talk in the middle of this episode. I don't know. Would you do that?
Don't do that.
It could be cool.
You're putting yourself and your loved ones in danger by acting in this way that is so fucked up by
but
listening.
But if you hate surprises and if you need to hear a talkback before you hear the actual thing we're responding to, more power to you. You're giving us money.
As long as you're paying the $5 a month, baby, I'm all good. However you want to take it.
Thank you.
And
so
you
much.
Know what? Don't even listen to anything. Just give me your
$5. Give us the $5.
Give me that $5.
Yeah. And just, fucking give us some reviews too. Who gives a shit? That's not even
reviews.
On the notes of what we were talking about in the interlude.
Yeah, reviews. Just do it.
iTunes, Spotify. You can do it for individual episodes on Spotify. How fun is that?
And also, maybe give us some cassettes because we actually don't give us cassettes.
There's
we have so many.
There's a lot.
And I know that one of them has the second half of the episode. One of them maybe. Oh, a lot of these probably have ads. Possibly.
Oh, pick that one.
Okay. Hopefully, this is the second half of the episode.
Let's find out.
Let's find out now.
Oh no, I killed Mike.
And my new character is on the other side of this cassette.
This episode of Gutter is sponsored by Hero Forge.
Violet, Otter, it's me, Scratch. If you're listening to this tape, then it means my dark prophecy was correct. I got sucked into cyberspace after insulting an Etsy witch on an internet forum. But look, I've been digging through the pages of my archive, and I think I found just the way out. Think about it. The place where you make ideas come to life. Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customized tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. With a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Meaning, you could design me, Scratch Kelly, on HeroForge.com. I could possess the digital model from here in cyberspace, then you could print me into existence itself. In theory. But that's not all. Hero Forge also has custom printed dice where they'll stick your favorite mini, in this case me, floating inside a die. Or you could even put that mini, me, in this case, on a keychain. Hero Forge custom acrylic keychains are printed at the same scale as the rest of Hero Forge minis and arrive already attached to a high-quality zinc alloy lobster clasp, so you can take your favorite character, in this case me, wherever you go. And if you can't quite capture my likeness, it's okay. Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week, so check back in and see what you missed. Listen, Violet, Otter, or anyone who finds this tape, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today. It may just be the only way to set me free. And if it doesn't, well, at least you got a Scratch Mini to keep you company.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
We're sitting by a fireplace right now. Let's say everyone's maybe got, a little coffee or tea.
Okay, yeah, there's a fireplace in the kitchen. We went to the kitchen. Yeah. You guys see the 10 panbanyas I got laid out. I also got a big cauldron of Tom Yum soup that I've been heating up. These are my two favorite foods, by the way. Establishing that right out of the gate.
Wow. You're having both of your favorite foods on the same day.
Meal prepping, buddy. Ketchup.
Oh.
No, hand me the ketchup. Oh, it's going in the Tom Yum soup. Yum, 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 yum. Okay. So tell me, who the hell are you guys again?
Bling, 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 bling.
Yep. Fast forward.
Okay, yeah, so the smell of Tom Yum soup wafting through your noses and the fireplace crackling beside you, you regale Otter here, this gentleman, with everything that has happened in the last 24-ish hours. And we'll get to the end of the story.
And so we have the margarita machine in the trunk right now as we speak. And that's where we're at now. Mm-hmm. Also, what's with the clapping on the boards of this place? Like the clap boards.
That is a long story. And we have got a lot to talk about, but I just want to say, if Bodhi Chambers really did get swooped up by a demon, and if he really is no more, I did not need that news today.
Otter's looking beyond distraught.
I did not need that fucking news. I told him to not go out as much as he did. I know he had stuff to do. But, God damn it, Bodhi, why was Black Fork not good enough for you? Why couldn't you have just stayed here? We were building something. You came so far. I can't believe that Bodhi is dead. I can't believe that Bodhi is gone. You say you have a book. Let me see that book right now. Let me take a look at this shit.
All right, it's just addresses.
Scratch hands the little black book to Otter.
And you say you working for WCL, right?
Yeah.
I know those guys.
You do?
Yeah, they in part pay my bills. I sell a ton of shit to them. Random weird stuff that we find out here.
Oh, I deliver stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I was supposed to be delivering. Well, I mean,
and
I left
boss,
this out
your,
of the story,
your,
but
no, your boss is dead? Or your boss got blown up or
presumably
something?
Presumably.
We're assuming, yeah.
I mean, based on the state of that place,
God
it seemed
damn.
Like probably most people, if not all, were eviscerated.
Oh my god. Bodhi came so goddamn far from when I met him. Violet, how long did you know Bodhi?
Like a couple years, I would say. I don't know exactly. Just a while. And he kind of kept to himself, but he was extremely friendly, and...
He has a place here. He got a...
Oh.
Shipping container out back that he, you know... I said he could stay in the house. He wanted to stay in the container. I don't know. We let him stay out there.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm so sorry.
He stayed here sometimes, but then he would go out into the warp. He had other friends, you know.
Yeah.
He's someone who had a real shit lot in life, and his dad... Football terrorist. This guy is a bad dude. Bodhi never had a chance. But when I met Bodhi, I just saw a kid that was hurt. Sorry. This is just a lot.
No, we're sorry.
And if the WCL guy's dead, that's like, I don't know where we're going to get 30% of our... bills paid, but...
I was supposed to deliver this... Well, it's in the car, but...
The headset thing?
Yeah, the headset thing,
yeah,
right?
We can take a look at that. About, yeah. Amy's a real whiz, but I know my way around some of this shit, and I believe me, there's strange things that happen here. That's why I believe you really did see a demon or a flying Googaloo or whatever the hell that guy was. I believe it. Because I got... Mm-hmm. I got demons here. We're right on the edge of the woods. That clacking sound?
Yeah.
It seems to keep a lot of things at bay.
That's what I thought. That's what I fucking thought. I was like, this is, if I had this, it would just be to keep the things away.
Wait, did you set that up?
I mean, I helped set it up, yeah, about 10 years ago when I had to come back. But.
Whoa.
That's a great system. I would put that in my home. But I don't have one, so I have car doors, and that will just function just the same way. You open them and you close them.
Well, if you guys were friends of Bodhi, you're absolutely welcome to stay out here as long as you need, because... give me that book again. Let me see this shit. All right. Heads or tails? What are we making of it? Looking at this thing, seeing addresses.
You flip open it. First address on there. You recognize it, or... You recognize it because it is for Black Fork. 11 Otranto Way, Black Fork, Washington.
Excuse me?
Oh.
That's the burp of recognition.
Violet also burps in recognition of the burp of recognition.
Why don't you show us then?
I can't burp on command.
You can't burp on command?
No.
Scratch farts a fart of this is still an enigma to me.
And with that fart, I want to say Otter kind of takes stock of these guys again. He looks over them, sees Scratch. Scratch, how tall are you?
Me? I'm like 5'10". I tell people I'm 5'11", but...
What's your wingspan? Can you spread your arms for me a second? Oh, yeah. I could work with this. You'd be a great squash player.
Squash?
Yeah, squash.
Scratch squash.
Squash.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I was just thinking about different kind of like poses that I could put you in a squash court with a ball ripping around everywhere, bouncing all over, you dominating your opponent.
Are you a coach?
I guess you could say something like that. And he shows you a kind of like one of those hip hop ring sets, and it says coach on it. And he shows you. Kids made this for me during arts and craft a couple weeks ago.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah. We just got a bunch of kids running around here sometimes, sort of like a community center. I don't know if you saw the bulletin board out front, but, you know, Black Fork is on the rise, baby. We got activities. We got intramural sports. We got art time. You know, doesn't have to be all scary. Doesn't have to be all... The egg man coming every couple days trying to find the eggs. I gotta kill him.
There's an egg man?
I gotta kill him. He comes back.
I mean, this is...
It doesn't have to just be killing a strange man, painted all white, except for his mouth, painted black. He's smiling. He has some sort of egg-like head. He can't speak.
I think that
It doesn't have to be that way. It could be fun.
I love it here. I love it. And I want to stay here. And I want to.
You hear
to
a gunshot
never...
outside.
Oh, well, that's normal. I want to stay here. I think that this place really could be a great home. But you knew there was a but coming. I think both Scratch and I mean, I'm not going to speak for you, Scratch, but based on what we've talked about, it seems like there's some weird, fucked up shit. And maybe somehow, God, I'm now talking about fate too. I cannot believe it. We are like tasked with figuring out what these addresses mean. And maybe the answer is in this book. So I don't think we can stay.
Well, here's the thing. That first address is pretty decently in Old Black Fork, which is, you know, if you guys are just passing through, I'm sorry, but I cannot let you go there. I can hold on to that book and I can investigate that address for you, but
no,
I think you guys are going to maybe want to stay here.
That's our book.
I'll give it back to you. You can keep it, but I'll go check out that address. You guys can stay here.
No.
Well, do you know something about that place?
I know that almost no one who goes into the warp comes back. Bodhi was one of the few exceptions, and, well, I guess if he really is gone forever, then I guess he's not an exception, but it was an exception for a while. I've gone into the warp a couple times. I know how to handle myself. You know, I'm a former athlete, 5-time professional champion of squash, also bronze medalist in the 2000 short track speed skating event. You guys might know Apollo Ono. He was better than me, but...
Okay.
I'm closer to Apollo Ono than you are to me when it comes to short track speed skating, I can tell you that. For now. Although I could see you surpassing me.
I once met Apollo Ono at Nobu.
You hear a voice from the backpack.
Sorry, what? That's the talking fish we talked about.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I kind of forgot about that because of what happened to my friend. Let me see that thing. Let me see that guy.
Okay.
Look at this guy. Ah, look at him. This is great. This is amazing condition.
Hi there.
Do you know how much... Hello. Do you know how much these ghosts... Wait, it really is talking to me.
Yeah, it talks. Like...
Yes. Listen, you've got me in your hands right now.
Don't do it.
Don't.
Crazy.
Don't
crazy.
Do it.
I know, shot in the dark.
Hold on.
Not feeling like this is going to go anywhere, but can you kill me, please?
Nope.
You know, we can talk about that. I don't know... I'm not just going to grant your wish if you're talking about dying. Like, let's kind of figure out where you're at, you know? What are your goals?
All right.
What are your goals besides dying?
I really want to die so that I can go to sleep forever. Or whatever happens.
Okay, I can hear that and I can counter you. What if we build you some kind of sleep chamber that helps you simulate sleep so that you can achieve what you're talking about without ending your life?
Well, I'll prefer death, but I suppose I'll take what I can get at this point. If you wouldn't mind just setting me up by the window over there so I can just look at the trees a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
I've
absolutely.
I've mostly just been looking at the same wall in this big boat, so this is actually kind of nice. I do like this. It'll help me come up with dreams when I gotta go to sleep. All right, I'm gonna shut my little mouth trap up now so you can put me by the window.
Check this out real quick. And he holds the fish over towards... this area above the entranceway of the kitchen, and there is another big mouth Billy Bass that is not possessed by either a spirit of Jimmy Buffett or an AI. It's just another fish, but he's like, look.
Wow, hey.
I got one just like you.
Wow. Hey there.
Take me to the river.
All right, yeah, okay.
Bring me to All the right. water.
I know that one. I can actually sing that too.
All right, well, we're going to put you over there. Oh, you said you met Apollo Ono at Nobu?
Yeah, he was nice.
Do you remember what he ordered?
No.
Okay, well, I just wanted to see if you really met Apollo Ono or if it was an AI, because I know his order, he always gets the California roll. Bit of trivia about that guy.
Could have been a California roll. It was very brief. I said, hey, good luck out there, my friend. And he loved my music.
That is true. He did love your music. All right, I'm putting him over there by the window.
All right.
All right.
I think that's a nice solution for now, as long as we tell everyone to, you know, not kill him when he asks to be killed. Or let's put up a sign. Violet very quickly pulls out a piece of scrap paper with a Sharpie and sticks up a sign right next to it that says, do not kill, no matter what.
I think it's imperative that this fish continues to suffer until we figure out what's going on.
No, we can take a look at that. Honestly, I think it might be worth, we could take it apart.
Well, we'll see.
Take it apart and see what's inside.
I'd like to get back to your...
How I'm not going to let you guys go into the deep wood.
You're making assumptions here as if I haven't been into the warp dozens of times.
Well, and I mean...
And Scratch, he's dying to go into a warp, so...
Well, we're in... I guess this is also for Ganon. This can be... We're in a warp right now.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of confusing a little bit because it's like there are towns within warps where people have kind of cut out like their own communities and are able to keep it safe, and then there's what is beyond the towns, which is sometimes referred to as deep warp.
Deep warp.
Deep warp.
Deep warp.
Deep warp. Okay.
Basically where there's no hangers-on, scavengers, refugees, whatever you want to call the people who live in the warp. It's what is beyond the homes. Deep warp, so.
Yeah, if I can explain it as someone who actually lives here, it's akin to having a cliffside village. Let's say that the warp is the cliff. If you go walk off the cliff, you know, you're probably going to fall to your death.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us here know to not go off the edge of the cliff. Sometimes some of us, Bodhi, sometimes myself, we got on one of those squirrel suits. We jump off the cliff, kind of fly, glide for a little bit. But you still eventually hit the ground. Unless you get an updraft and brings you back to the cliffside village for this metaphor, if that makes sense.
It does. And some of us don't, you know, live anywhere. So in that way, we live everywhere. And we will be going with you into the deep warp.
Violet, how tall are you? What?
I'm like 5'3".
Huh. You ever speed skate, short track style?
No, I haven't. I rollerbladed. Does that count?
Mike actually does not know if that counts.
Yeah, you could just make it up. Yes.
Sort of decided.
It's exactly the
that
same.
I know about this. They're totally the same here. And I'm like, I've put a squash racket in Scratch's hand, and I've given Violet these like roller blades to try on as we're having this conversation. You mean I can't stop you guys from going into the warp, but if you guys are really insistent and think that you guys are going to be okay out there, first things first, you're going to have to wrestle me. Look at my hands. I want to break them. And I sort of get up, and I'm standing like a Greco-Roman wrestler. This is not a sport that I've ever done, but I've observed it. And sometimes that's enough.
Scratch puts both his hands up in a kind of like, whoa, kind of way. Like, let's not... But you take that as him squaring up with his arms out, and so you you immediately dive in and give him an arm. Whoa!
And Violet standing by, incredulously with one eyebrow up, just pulls out a cigarette and is like about to light it, and then looks around and realizes that we're inside in a shop full of stuff. And puts it back in the pack. And it does not light up.
And after, presumably, Otter gets Scratch in a submission hold, Otter takes out a cigarette and lights it.
Oh, okay.
And smokes the victory cigarette. And he swats, with his other free hand, he swats it out of Violet's hand and then throws Scratch away to try to wrestle Violet. You don't get to smoke that unless you beat old Otter. Come on, let me
at her! Violet is running. Running and dodging.
You're running through a library right now. There's a bunch of old books all over the place. You were being chased from behind an otter. It's like, I'm gonna get you. You're running through the shop.
Yeah, the carpet is like 90s like movie theater carpet in this room for some reason. There's so many DVDs in this library as well. There's also just like pictures on the wall. You think in one corner you see a picture of Otter, much younger, with his shirt off, holding a squash racket in one hand and a pair of rollerblades in the other. And on the bottom it says Playgirl magazine. then in another room, a different room filled with just like strange auto parts and, you know, random bric-a-brac, there is a large crucifix with Winnie the Pooh strapped to the center. No explanation given
Maybe one needed one day. But yeah, does Otter catch Violet?
Okay, so they're running. Otter is chasing Vi. And then suddenly she stops and drops to the ground like in a little ball. And he trips over her.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Gotcha.
Good one. You can light that thing up now. I have been defeated.
Now that I'm out of breath.
Just kidding.
Cut to Scratch back in the first room, his eyes slowly opening after being suffocated until he passed out, regretting the fact that he took a striking martial art as a young man and never learned how to properly defend himself in a grapple situation. And as his eyes open and he looks around, he sees that he's surrounded by Princess Diana beanie babies?
What yeah, the just like a little
heck?
Fairy circle around you of beanie babies in the kitchen.
Yeah. You can cut back.
No, no. Oh, I thought you said you could cut that. And I was like, do not cut that.
No, do not.
That is going to become one of the biggest plot lines of Gutter.
Is the Princess Diana beanie babies.
Which are piloted by spiders.
All right. Back in the crucified Winnie the Pooh room. Boom. Light is sparkling in from the stained glass windows of the Passion of Pooh.
Can I just say the Passion of Pooh? Oh, my God.
Well, wow.
You know, I am not the type of coach to hit people. This is not normally how I would approach an interaction with someone I was coaching. I'm just here to try to prove a point that as big and bad as Otter is. Otter's 5'10", by the way. He's not that big, but he's bad.
I'd say 5'10's pretty big.
Otter is not as big and bad as what is out there in the warp. So I know you've been in the warp before, Violet, and I know you've probably seen some really effed up stuff in the last day, but I need you to go quietly into those woods, and I need you to go with a chaperone, and that's old Otter. And I need you to stay here overnight and rest up before we leave in the morning to go to that address. And also, I can't leave because we got to serve dinner to the kids, and then I got to watch my game. You're welcome to watch the game with me. We can also go check out Bodhi's stuff in the Bodhi's chamber.
That's what I was going to ask. I would love to.
Okay. Let me take you there right now.
All right, you guys are walking out into the woods again. You're walking in the backyard area. There's like a ton of scrap. I'm sure Otter could tell you all about it, but like old cars, and there's like a tented off area with a bunch of workout equipment. And then at the back of the yard, smelling the woods and that light chemical smell, at the end of the yard is a big old shipping container.
Can I also just describe another thing just before we get to the shipping container? There is a chicken coop. Inside is a magnificent black hen, and it's got a little name tag on the top of the coop that says Galadriel.
Wow.
And you just see like a little pair of glowing eyes inside. Chicken eyes, nothing to worry about. But that is my source of eggs, and you don't take that for granted out here in the warp. Mm. There's also a little herb garden next to the chicken coop. Sometimes Galadriel will go in there and tend to her crops, I like to say. Nah, she just kind of eats some of them, which is fine. And yeah, there's where Bodhi would stay. You see the shipping container that has scrawled on the outside, Bodhi Chambers Chamber, and it's got a big padlock. Otter just gives it a bump, and then the padlock opens up. And with a creak, I pull back the metal door, and you see inside, and you see where a big guy named Bodhi used to live.
I imagine Bodhi to me sort of strikes me as kind of a Spartan living kind of guy. Like, there's a bed. Or maybe there's like just like a bunch of blankets. Imagine if it gets really cold out there, so there's like a lot of blankets. Maybe a battery-powered heater next to it.
Yeah, and Otter built in some insulation to the shipping container. Despite Bodhi's wishes, Otter made kind of a tiny home situation happen here with all the random shit we have. There's a lot of stuff here that hipster couples would, you know, maybe on their honeymoon come by and be like, oh, we need to go buy this random crap for our cool house. Well, some of that stuff is in Bodhi's chamber, despite Bodhi's best wishes, there's probably, you know, at least one mid-century modern beautiful credenza in there. There's the blankets aforementioned on the floor. He sleeps in a pile of blankets.
And then there's, you see, like, light glints off of these, like, strands of hair that are, like, hanging from a nail. Bodhi, like, wrapped them around a nail. These strands of red hair just above his big pile of blankets.
And then there's a vintage Bowflex machine that Bodhi would use, and it's partly how he got so strong. There's a little refrigerator that's powered by a small generator out back that's currently off. The refrigerator's off as well. But inside there would be Bodhi's muscle milk, you know, his protein, his gains. Sometimes I'd stock that thing with banbanya and tom yum soup. Bodhi could have that whenever he wants, as long as we have the ingredients. And there's a poster in there, a cat hanging on a branch. And at the bottom it says, go fuck yourself. Bodhi wrote that part. He didn't like that I hung this up in here. But that was the kind of thing we would talk about, we would work on. There's a another, like a whiteboard that says goals. Number one, it says self-acceptance. Number two, it says new bench press maximum. Number three, it says appreciate the little things. Number four says make a friend. And that one was checked. So I guess Bodhi, at some point, bless his heart, he made a friend. And then in the corner, there is a kind of like a crystal ball chipped. Otter goes and walks up to it, picks it up. It's a little heavy. And he holds it. He walks it over to Scratch and Violet. Check this out. Otter presses a somewhat hidden button on this crystal ball.
Over the surface of the entire ball, it's like there's a video playing. Like the whole surrounding of the ball is a TV screen.
What the hell?
And as I'm holding this, we're sort of all lit by this glowing ball in this somewhat dark space, previously just lit by the natural light that was coming through the open shipping container door. And Gannon, what do we see?
It's like footage of like a like an animal. Like if you've seen kitty cat videos or dog videos or like with a GoPro strapped to them, it's like a dog-sized creature sort of like moving, maneuvering through a forest. It has sort of like a mechanical precision. It's like running through the forest and trees are bolting by. It's leaping and running around. And then it stops and it turns and it looks up and it pauses right there. And looking down is a face. It's blurry, but it's like a large man, like a giant, with huge tumors or pustules on his face. Some are burst. And it's just like looking down with heavy, dark eyes. And then the ball goes black.
What is this?
That was the kind of shit that Bodhi was on. So, time to pick up the trail.
Scratch, Otter, and Violet sort of sit in the moment of silence for a minute, looking at each other. Just then, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. That's a dinner bell. Sort of in unison, there's a nod, and everyone walks out of Bodhi Chamber's chamber. They're walking now to the back of the Painted Lady, the Victorian crap yard. It's like a bunch of benches, like a big table. Sort of, you can really see where it's like a community center. You can see Amy coming out holding a big thing of Tom Yum soup, and that like all the tables, places are set. In the distance, you can hear kids shouting, and they're running up to the Victorian, running around back. There's a big, beautiful stage set up, and there's, like, toys and things, like, kids can goof around with. Like, there's a little, like, set up, like, basketball hoop. This is, like, an area where, clearly, Otter's taking good care of these kids.
And it's not just kids, too. There's, like, random
down and out townspeople who just need a meal. No judgment, no questions asked. There's like this one smiling guy in the like baby powder blue velour tracksuit who's like holding a bottle of Hennessy, and he's happy. He shows up as well.
Yeah.
That's Otter's best friend, Dewey Decimal. He's here as well. Don't worry about him.
There's like a cool old woman who's like wearing a shirt that says World's Best Meemaw, and she has like an AK-47 strapped to her, but she's got a big smile on. It's like a big sort of like communal dinner, and it's really nice, and you're all sitting around just eating this food, and it's warm and it's good. And then you sort of like, you're chit-chatting at the table, and you look up, say Violet, you look up and you look out and you notice that there's a path that leads like out past the stage, like past this chain link fence door and like into the woods. And you're looking deep into the woods, and it gets darker, darker, and darker. That's where you're going tomorrow. Turn to your food. The camera pulls out. The sun is setting now over the trees, great red, stretching over the greens and oranges and browns of the changing landscape, and then darkness comes. Onward. Blackout! Good?
Great.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It was a little long, but it was fun. I can cut that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff to cut.
Most of the stuff Ganon and Eleni and Casey said.
I was thinking about getting a jacket for my arms, but I think...
Get a jacket. Are you cold?
I'm going to grab my cardigan because I've...
Okay, well, yeah. Then we're going to do that. All right.
I'm going to go pee.
Okay, let's take two.
I'm going to sit here.
Okay.
All right. Officially, everyone has walked away from their headphones and from their screen, and it is just me in this room by myself. And I wish so badly that I had a juicy secret that I could say right now. But I don't. Like, if I was like, and in this episode, Violet turns out to be a changeling or like a vampire. And everyone's going to find out. Yeah. But anyway, I have no secret. So I hope you're having a great day. And please enjoy my musical stylings. Ahem. Oh, say, can you see? Why is that the first song that came into my head? Oh, my Lord.
Gutter.